The teenage years seem to be the toughest part of parenting, wouldn't you say?
Surely, one of the toughest. Today on Real Family Talk, we discuss the biggest struggles today's youth face and their greatest needs. If you're a parent of a teenager or you know a teenager, don't miss this program.
Happy smiles, cool poses, and emojis they like to share on their Instagram and Snapchat feeds. There's much more going on in the lives of today's teenagers than meets the eye.
Our guest today, Dr. Andres Peralta, serves as Associate Director of Youth Ministries for the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. He travels around the world, meeting, speaking to, and listening to teenagers talk about their lives. And he says that despite what we see them posting on social media, there are a lot of struggles, there's a lot of pain, and there are great needs. Welcome, Andres.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me here.
We're delighted you could come.
Thank you.
Tell us about the teenagers you meet in your travels and what's going on in their lives.
That's a very good question. Every time I go to a place, I like to have an encounter with them, talk to them, listen to them.
Sure.
And I always hear many stories that I would like to share at this moment. Mm-hmm. But apart from what they're going through in their life, I also see positive things. For example, a lot of excitement, willing to serve the community. I always listen to them talking about the willingness to help the church and get involved in the church.
A lot of energy.
That's a lot of energy.
Yes.
Right. A lot of energy.
Right. So we need to think about the positive, you're saying.
The positive things that are happening in their life.
Absolutely.
But there is another side of the coin.
Yes.
You know, they always share their hearts. Somehow they get connected when you speak to them. I try to be transparent to them.
Yes, yes.
So they get connected. So they approach to me in the appeal or after the sermon or even before the sermon, and they have shared many things. One of the things that I've seen is the things that they're going through in their homes.
Yes.
When I was in a particular country, you know, I made an appeal, and hundreds of them came forward. And I spent 3 hours just standing there, all of them telling me their story in seconds.
After your presentation.
After my presentation.
Yes. Yeah.
And I was just standing there. The pastor was like in awe, like, what is going on? I said, no, leave them. They all hugged me, cried, and telling me their stories.
Yes.
And most of the story are related to their parents.
Yes. Wow.
And related to divorce. Mm-hmm. And the things they are going at home, seeing their parents fighting with each other, and parents are not being home, not spending enough time with them.
So what I'm hearing you say is that a lot of the issues that teenagers are dealing with, the ones you're meeting,
mm-hmm.
are family issues.
Family issues.
Home life.
Yes, yes.
A lack of relationship with their parents.
Yep.
Concern about how their parents are getting along with each other.
Yep.
And like, how that's making them feel.
Yeah, and they really go there. One of them wrote me on Facebook. He told me, Pastor, I just came back from this camperee, from your camperee.
Yes.
And when I got home, mommy was not there.
Oh,
and
wow.
I said, what happened? Yeah. He said, well, she left with another man, and she left us, my two siblings and my father. And I don't know what to do.
Wow.
Can you help me, please?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it's so sad because I think as parents sometimes we think that our actions, our decisions, mm-hmm. are not necessarily hurting our children. We say, oh, you know, that may hurt today, but they'll get over it. They'll be okay. And what I hear you saying is that these kids are really struggling with some of the decisions that their parents are making.
Yeah, and it's impacting their life and self-esteem. And even some of them have thought of committing suicide. That's the second thing that I always find there. By the way, if you don't mind, I can share a story.
Sure, absolutely, please.
Yeah.
When I was a pastor in Queens, New York, I got a call at 11:58 p.m. And there was a mother and told me, Pastor, can you come to my son's house? And I said, yes. He was only 20 years old. I got there, a lot of ambulance, police officers were out there, a lot of young people out there in the building, and I walked and I saw the mother. She hugged me, she was crying, said, "Things are not going good here." She was crying. She said, "I only go with you downstairs." I went downstairs. When I was coming down to in a basement, in New York, they have basement. You live there, so you know.
Familiar.
There was blood on the carpet and on the walls. And I was, something is wrong here. I turned to the left-hand side, and he was laying down, dead.
He's taken his life.
He has taken
his life, yeah.
There was, on his left hand, he had a Bible. And he had cut his body, all his body, the whole bed was full of blood. And the mother was shaking the bed and the son, saying, "Pastor Peralta is here. Pastor Peralta is here. Pastor, wake up, son, wake up." I didn't know what to do.
He was gone.
Right.
It was my first time encountering a situation
like that.
Yeah. And the only thing that I felt the impression was, stay quiet. Yeah. Don't say anything.
Just be there.
Yes. And on that moment, I made a promise to God. I said, "God, I will do my best to invest time, quality time, and energy and resources towards the young people."
Okay. Mm-hmm. And pretty much listening to what they're saying.
Listening, yes.
Because many times there's a lot of frustration because there's no conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we've encountered a lot of this with many of the teenagers that we've dealt with ourselves. Mm-hmm. They feel that their parents are not there, that their parents are not listening. Mm-hmm. They don't understand. That's mostly what they say.
It's true.
Because at some level, they know that their parents do care, but they feel they don't understand. Mm-hmm. They're old, and it's different now than it was in their time. And it's not always that different, but they think it's different.
Yeah, they think that.
What are some of the other things that you found teenagers are facing? What are their struggles? What are their anxieties?
Well, I have seen lack of purpose.
Okay.
A lot of them, they say, like, why am I here? Why did God create me? Like, do I have a purpose in life? Mm-hmm. And that's why even this year we have pushed a motto or a theme, created with purpose.
Okay. Because you're talking about youth ministries.
Youth ministry,
around the world. Created with purpose. So giving them something to focus on and to kind of, connect their lives to, some saying.
Yes.
Created with purpose.
So we encouraging that.
Excellent.
You know, you are created with purpose. God created you for different reasons. But, you know, we have studied with them and encouraged them in Genesis chapter 1. God gave purpose to the sea. He puts fish in the sea. To the sky, he put the stars.
Yes.
And then to men, he formed them and gave them purpose. He gave his spirit and tell, you know, now, you know, multiply and take care of the animals. So God gave purpose.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I always share with them, God created you to be full of him. And number two, God created you so you can serve others.
Oh, that's
be a blessing to others.
That's wonderful. Sorry. You know what? After a short break, we'll talk more about the realities of life for today's teens. Stay with us.
If you go by what they post on their social media feeds, life looks great for today's teenagers. But Pastor Andres Peralta says that beyond their happy faces, there are great needs. Let's talk about the three greatest needs of teenagers, no matter where they live in the world. So, Pastor Peralta, when we went to the break, you started talking about the first need as being purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned Genesis 1:1.
Mm-hmm.
You also talk about another text that you like in Jeremiah.
Oh,
tell
yes.
us about that.
We want to young people to know that even before they were born, God had a plan for them.
Yes.
You know, even if their parent reject them, even if their parent didn't plan them, God already had a plan in his mind for them specifically. And God wants to fulfill his mission on each or in everyone on this planet.
Right. And do you find that helps them when you present it to them that way? Do they accept that?
When they recognize that, they have a direction. and they can focus their life. They'd be like, okay, I'm not an accident, you know, it just, I didn't come boof out of a big band or something. No, I have a purpose. So we try to work with them to discover their purpose from the Bible standpoint.
Yes.
And okay, this is my purpose. Okay, so now I need to deal with this, deal with that, because I have a purpose. And I think that will help not only the young people, even everybody.
Absolutely.
We'll move forward when they discover their purpose.
Because we all need to have that purpose and meaning in our lives. So I like what you're saying, is that you help them to discover it. Mm-hmm. Because so even if something, your life didn't start out right, even if your parents abandoned you, even if they left you.
Or didn't plan for you.
You can help them find their purpose. So what are some of the things, some of the ways in which you're helping these teenagers find purpose?
Well, first, let's start a connection first with God, right? The more you are connected with God, the more you are learn to hear His voice through the Bible, of course. So they need to start learning, like, is this God's will for my life? So they're going to be discovering their voice. For example, when I was in Dominican Republic, I was a child. My mother used to, at noon, we used to play baseball. At noon, she always came out.
Is that why they have so many baseball players from the Dominican Republic?
We play in the street, we play everywhere.
Yeah.
So my mother, at noon, she screamed, Peralta! And I always feel embarrassed. Mommy, why are you screaming? And everybody's watching at me. And then the other ladies and mothers started doing the same thing. So it was like a choir. I knew everybody would come out, all the mothers, and scream
their names. Okay.
Yes.
But among all those mothers, I knew who was my mother's voice.
Your mother.
What was my mother's voice.
Yeah. So you recognize her voice.
I recognize her voice. So even though there was a noise around, I recognized my mother's voice. So I tell the young people, try to recognize God's voice.
I love that.
And then in the midst of a crowd and social media, and then when you do that, and then you will be like, okay, I have number one.
Yes.
Boom. Number two. And then try to be surrounded with people that really love you. God used people. We are humans, and they will confirm the plans that God has for you. When I wanted to be a pastor at the beginning, I was struggling. So God sent some angels, people like
someone to mentor you,
mentor me,
someone to help you to validate what you were feeling God was saying to you.
And they encouraged me, and I was like, this is God's voice. And when I discovered that I wanted to be a pastor, and that was my purpose. Even with all the odds that I found when I went to Puerto Rico, no money, no support there, no family. When I went to Andrews University, you know, speaking the language and all that struggle, I said, no, I have a purpose. Yeah. So God will help me to go through.
And God will work it out.
Amen. Yeah.
And what I like about what you're saying is that you're not only talking to them about purpose, but you're showing it to them in Scripture. And the Bible is just filled with so much direction and so much. So many reminders that God does care and He has a purpose for our lives.
Amen.
All right, so let's get to need number two.
Okay.
Teenagers need to be heard, you say.
Yes. I try to be approachable. I know it's costing me a lot. I mean, I know you go and preach around the world, and you know what I'm talking about. Everybody wants to talk to us. And sometimes the pastor, they just taking me out of the, you know, from the back door because they're almost killing me. And it's true. Nevertheless, when I don't go with my family, I ask permission to my wife. I say, baby, give me some time so I can spend. And she said, okay. And sometimes I go to sleep late. And I like to listen to them because I want to be relevant when I speak to them. If I don't listen to them.
You don't know what their needs are.
I don't know what their needs.
Right.
And for example, I was in a particular country recently. I spent like 7 hours just listening to them. I had to take my breaks. Hey, let me drink water and use. Yeah. Give me a second, okay? Yeah. I don't want to die here.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I listened to them. And one of the things that they appreciate of us and leaders is listen to me. And I encourage that to the parents. Yeah. I have, they write me also, Pastor, my parents are working so much that I have not spent a minute today. They don't listen to me. and they want to be heard.
Yeah.
And you have to be active listener, you know, and show them that you care. Don't just listen and start moving and watching. Okay.
Right.
No.
So give them attention.
Please.
Yeah. Look at them when they're speaking
to
you.
Yeah. And it's funny that you're saying that the kids are saying the parents are working hard. And the parents are working hard because they feel they want to provide more for their children.
Yes.
But what you're saying is, you know, but you have to listen to them because all that you're doing, all that we think we're doing for them is not what they really need, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's something else that you said that was very important, and it's about don't jump in with advice.
Oh, yes. You know, as we study as chaplains, we learn or they recommend some items in life. And one of the things is just listen.
Just listen.
Without an agenda.
Yeah. Is it that we always say? Listen first, talk second.
Listen first, talk second. You have a third point that you brought up, and we want to cover that point before we end this segment, and that is teenagers need to feel valued. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about that.
I always had a low self-esteem. Always. At the beginning, I had you were talking about bullying before. When I was in school, I didn't speak the language at all. So I always felt like I had no value.
You're talking about when you moved from the Dominican Republic to New York
United
City.
States, yes.
Yeah.
And
yes.
I was in a school, they always call me Sharko and push me and all that. And that's why I even developed the habit of become a fighter. I became a boxer because I needed to defend myself.
Yes.
And I feel like I had no value.
Yes.
So one of the things that I also seen, and is all around the world, young people like to be valued. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways to feel value is like the point that we just talked, is just to be listened. Be appreciative, you said in English, right?
Yes, be appreciative.
You know, tell them, yes, you can do it.
Yeah.
Lift them up.
Yeah. Affirm them.
Affirm them.
Encourage
That's what
them.
I was looking for. Yes.
Yeah.
Affirm
yeah.
them. And they like to be valued. And and just words. Words make a big difference in people's lives.
Absolutely.
Words.
Absolutely. So next, we're going to look at five things we can do now to effectively minister to our teens at home and at church. Stay with us.
Our colleague, Dr. Andres Peralta, says that if we want to effectively parent and minister to the needs of today's teenagers, we need to work from the inside out. What do you mean by that?
That's a very good question. I think we have put a lot of emphasis in doing. When I even got baptized, everything was...
You're talking about in the church?
In the church,
yes.
In the church.
Yes.
Like, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to change this, you need to change that. And it's like a big list.
Long list.
Yes, a long list.
And I have found that even in Dudley, in his book...
Roger Dudley's book, yes.
It was proven that the young people are not lack of... really knowledge of doctrines.
Right.
And it's okay to know it all and read the spirit of prophecy and all that is good and great. But we want to make an emphasis from inside out.
Yes.
Not about what I do for God, is what God do in me.
Okay.
First.
So, yes.
So that's the thing. Like the rich ruler, you know, the rich guy came to Jesus and he said, I have done everything.
Yes.
You know, and Jesus said, yeah, but this is not all. It's not about doing who you are.
Sell everything.
Give it to the poor and all that. It's your motive. What is inside?
Yeah.
And I have made a lot of emphasis of what's going on inside of you.
Okay, so not extrinsic, but intrinsic.
Intrinsic, yes.
Intrinsic. How's your relationship with God? You know, how are you connecting with Him every day? Because there's a lot of externals.
Mm-hmm.
And as church people, we know about that. Mm-hmm. You know, church tends to be about a lot of externals. So internal, intrinsic, about being.
About being.
Instead of doing.
Doing.
And you have five things that you gave us that you want to talk about. Five ways to minister to today's teens. And you said, number one, be a role model. What do you mean by that?
Action speak louder than words.
Yes.
That's the key. And I've seen it. Most of the complaints that I have heard, it's just like, They tell us what to do, but they are not doing it.
Okay.
Oh, my father is in the pulpit. He's preaching about love, but he's hitting my mother. And he's mistreating us, and so on and so on.
Okay.
So there have to be a correlation between our actions and our words.
Right.
So we really need to be a role model, you know, and I'm trying to do that. I'm still struggling with some things in my life. And when I try to tell something to Melanie, my 3-year-old, it's kind of hard. My wife say, you need to leave what you're telling her.
Yes.
I mean, don't tell her not to be in the phone if you are also in the phone.
Right. Thank God for wives, right?
No. She always correcting me. Yeah. Thank God for her.
Yes. Yeah. So what I'm hearing you say is that it's much more than what we say. It's what we do. And parents and teachers and pastors and people in responsible positions tend to say a lot about what we should do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing you say it's much more than just do what I say is do what I do.
Yes.
And
yes.
without saying it, just by being that person.
Yeah.
And young people tend to see that. I don't know.
The authenticity of it.
Well, if we tell kids to be kind and to care about others, but in our homes, which is what you're saying, we don't care about them. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, right, to that teenager if I go out and feed the hungry, you know, or the homeless, right? Because I'm not doing it at home. So I think the first role model, really, for these kids is the parent, right?
Yes.
And it's not about being a perfect parent. But, you know, what we often say to parents is, if we make a mistake, then be willing to
apologize,
say you're sorry.
Yeah, absolutely.
To apologize, ask for forgiveness,
yes.
because we're then modeling what we're teaching.
Let's go to number two. You say keep an open door.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what you mean by that.
Keep the door open. I mean, you need to, when you talk to them, they need to feel that you are for them.
Yes.
And that even though you are the parent, the leader, but also that they can have a relationship with you. They can trust you.
Yes.
And that is something because we have authority because we are the parent, right? But at the same time, we need to find a way to be flexible enough that they can feel like I have someone at home that I can go and I'll pour my
heart out.
My heart out.
So I'm hearing you say that. Parents need to show themselves friendly to their children.
Yes,
available and friendly.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not just giving authority, but we're also being buddies in some way.
Yes.
You know, let's go into number three, establish dependable time together.
Okay, this is something that I'm also trying to do, and I really thank both of you. When I came to GC, you recommend you need to spend time with your family, even though you're traveling. So I'm trying to balance that.
Yes, having a balance.
Yesterday, I took Melanie, my daughter, to the park.
Nice.
We start
nice,
running,
oh,
and she won the race. So
she has a lot of energy, huh?
Yes. And so you have to be intentional.
Yes.
Because a lot of calls, I get like 300 messages every 2 or 3 days, Facebook, Instagram, email, young people serving others, and I'm always serving others and serving others. But I also have to be having my, I have a daughter and another that coming up, and my wife, that I need to spend time. And I sit down, even I'm practicing this, sitting down every day when I'm at home, even on the phone when I'm away, I tell Melanie, how are you feeling today?
Oh, beautiful.
Okay.
Do you go through something today?
Yes.
How mama is behaving? You know that we make fun. And she sits down, 10 minutes, she starts talking. Blah, 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 blah. So I'm developing that. I have to be open
Excellent.
And have time for my daughter.
Let's do number four. Keep the lines of communication humming, you said. Okay. Tell us about that a little bit.
What should I say? This is a hard one. You need to be transparent in your communication with them. You gotta put also your boundaries when you communicate with them. But be nice when you communicate.
Yeah.
You know, even if you're strong, but say it even in a joke or something. You know, be nice, so they can come back to you. I have seen it, Pastor. I cannot talk to my mother because if I tell her that I did this mistake, she will hit me in such a way that I will be embarrassed in front of everybody.
Okay.
So you need to Right. You know, yeah. Be clear, right. Be calm, yeah. Breathe, yeah. Inhale.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Calm down.
Calm down. Yes. Yes. Go yes. Away, pray, yeah. Come back.
We often say, yeah. Remember, you're the adult yeah. in this relationship. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you want to make the space at home a safe space.
Safe yeah. space.
They need to yeah. feel that. Mm-hmm. Let's go to a last one, and that is listen deeply.
Okay, I know we mentioned this earlier, but yeah. we want to finish with that again.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah.
And listen.
And listen and some
listen.
More.
Listen. Yeah. And like we said before, without an agenda, yeah. without suggestion, even if you know the solution yeah. of the problem, yeah. help them to go through so they can find their own solution.
Yeah. That's so important.
Just guide them. Yeah. They yeah. have the resources. They're smart.
Yeah.
Well, they're watching you, and hopefully you're doing the right thing.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah.
So, yes. Listen.
Listen. Deeply. Listen. Listen deeply. Not teaching or yes, not yes, answering.
Giving advice. No. None of that.
And sometimes they know the answer.
Yes,
they
absolutely.
Know the answer. Yes.
Well, thank you so yeah. much, Andres,
no
for being
thank
with
you.
Us. It's
thank
been
you.
Wonderful. We're praying for your ministry. And thank you for watching today.